For the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, I am pleasing him in all respects, I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart, it's giving me light and direction, it's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Okay, let's start again today. I think, was it last time? I started talking about what I call faith for health and vitality in old age. To continue that, it's a school of prayer topic. I'd like us to go back to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. The principle we began to look at there is how they got healed, the people of Israel, after they had been attacked, afflicted by what the Bible calls fiery serpents. In verse 6, the Bible says, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, not the devil, the Lord, and they beat the people, that is the serpents, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we spoke against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. Please, there's a simple principle there. God's will is not sickness. Amen?
Amen.
Say amen if you believe that.
Amen.
God's will is not sickness. See, every single time, 100% of the times, the will of God is perfect health. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
I need you to say what I said. What did I say? That was not what I said, though. Why don't? Why? Let's do it again. Only a few people said it. I want everybody to say it. 100% of the time, the will of God is perfect health. Yes. 100%. There is never a time that his will is not perfect health. Please, I need to explain this. For those who are Bible students, who sometimes they listen to half or they don't have good understanding. So when they see things like this, that God sent fiery serpents against the people. So you know what they will say? It's not God. It is who? The devil. There's only one problem. The Bible says, the Lord sent. So we decided to try and explain it away, which is that, no, the Lord allowed to be sent fiery serpents. You want to hear the truth? That's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says is what? The Lord sent. Please, you say, this man, why do you keep on trying to clarify this? I'll tell you the reason why. Because one major key to healing in life is repentance. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
How did these people get healed? How did their healing start? Look at it. The people came to Moses and said, what did they say? Read it for me. Let's use the same version, New American. What did they say? Okay, verse 7. Verse 7, go there. What did they say in verse 7?
So the people came to Moses.
What did they say?
We have sinned
because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Let's just stop there. What's the first statement? First three words.
We have sinned.
Say it again.
We have sinned.
Then they went ahead and explained what their sins were. What was the sin they committed? They spoke against the Lord. And they spoke against Moses. A small interpretation there to clarify. They never spoke directly against the Lord. People hardly do. They usually speak against somebody they can see. They spoke against the government. They spoke against the leader. They spoke against the pastor. They spoke against their father. They spoke against the lecturer. They spoke against somebody who God constituted as authority over them. Let me just give you a word of advice. Don't have a critical spirit. You become sick. Don't have a critical spirit. What did I say? Don't have a critical spirit. It's very important. Don't go around with a critical spirit. You are going to be frustrated in life. Your business will do badly. Your home will do badly. Your children will turn out badly. Very soon, we're going to do a series on how to raise godly children. The thing dropped in my head one day. I don't teach on family much. Immediately, the number of points God gave me, and it was God, that came to my heart, I wanted to say, and it was God that was giving them to me. There are little things you do. You spoil your own children. Let me drop one of them for you. Don't whine in their ears. Don't grumble about money in their hearing. When you want to complain, stay inside the bedroom. Let me just warn you something quickly about 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds. They hear clearly and they understand. Etaneku? What did I say? They hear clearly and they understand. So when you want to complain, how many people have, you know what they call the White House throne? Okay, the toilet seat. Usually it's white. Just enter there, open the cover, kneel down, put your mouth there, and grumble inside. When you finish, flush it. Why you say, hey, it's clean now. Abi, don't you flush it normally in your house? Is that your talk that will dirty it? Just kneel down there. It's nothing strange. I mean, it's not happened to you before. Your stomach suddenly turns. You want to throw. Where do you go to? You run to the place, and you don't stand straight because you put it everywhere. You kneel down. I don't know, unless you have a latrine. If you have a normal toilet. So what I've said is not a terrible thing because you're about to vomit nonsense. Don't do it in your children's hearing. Don't pollute them. They're not the reason why you are broke. Don't spoil their future. Kneel down there and talk. When you finish talking, flush the toilet. They said, we grumbled against the Lord and against you. The grumble against God was manifested in the grumble and disobedience against Moses. I won't say much about that. What I want to talk about is that was what caused the problem. I was talking about the will of God. Let's understand it again. There is a difference between the will of God and the command or decree or the word God issues forth in a situation. God has two fundamental functions in this area. One, he's a father. And two, he's a judge. As a father, he has a will. 100% is for sound health for the people of Israel in the wilderness. When they came out of Egypt, he healed their diseases. However, please let me say this again. Please, we'll say this until people believe it. I was going to say young people, but I found out that even old people, they like to be deceived. One sister came to our house the other day. She said, I go to a Hyper Grace church. So you know it's Hyper Grace. She told my wife that my church is a Hyper Grace church. Have you heard this before? That God has dealt with the sins of the past. Is it true? What is wrong with you? Do you say no?
No, sir. Sorry, sir.
Is it true?
Yes, sir.
Has Jesus dealt with the sins that we committed?
Yes, sir.
I won't say anything. I will not ask. I'll just say the one I want to say now before this man comes. Then they say, Jesus has dealt with the sins of the present. That is also true and true unkind. And Jesus has dealt with the sins you will commit in the future. Now listen, don't say yes or no yet. It depends. Don't be like that. Now, those who say it, what they mean, why are you sin conscious? You want to hear the truth? The way they say it, if you are not sin conscious, you will die prematurely. I'm the one warning you. You shouldn't let guilt for past sins that God has forgiven you of hold you. Amen?
Amen.
But bro, if you lie, if you do what is wrong, be conscious. Have guilt. Go home and say, have mercy on me. Don't say, don't dismiss it. Father God, I say sorry in Jesus' name. Dala, I beg you. That will not receive forgiveness. You know why? you're not repentant. Let me not tell you one thing. One woman said that, you know, there's someone who, okay, I've ever seen before. Did I not beg you? Somebody jammed your car. Okay, but I said sorry. And you're thinking, the last time I went to Panabita, and I said sorry, and he healed the wound of the car. It's been like 2,755 years. Have you? And somebody's telling you, but I told him sorry. In case you are listening to this, if you are like that, you are not repentant. Somebody who's really sorry stops, does not keep quoting, I said sorry. You will continue saying sorry. And listen to this. You will continue to say, no, not just say, to do things that are within your power to remedy the situation. I keep on telling you, don't jam a man's car, break his lights, and say sorry. Your sorry is for the inconvenience, not for the light. The only sorry that makes sense if you break somebody's light is money. You will say to him, I am so sorry. I know you have somewhere you are going. I'm really sorry, please. What will it take to fix this? I know sometimes some of you will go and carry a motorcycle to go and jam a G-Wagon. I know. Which means if they sell the motorcycle 10 times, you can't even buy the light. So sometimes you have such situations. That is when you use more sorry. And offer to cut the grass in front of the person's house. Don't just expect to be forgiven. Usually, now, go and read your Bible. That servant that was owing the master so much money that he forgave, you know what he said to the master? Be patient with me, I will pay you all. That's what he said. He said, have patience with me, I will pay you everything. The master, when he saw that, he now had felt sorry for him and decided unilaterally. People like to demand forgiveness too much. You can't demand forgiveness. You are not worthy of it until you are willing to literally pay for the damage. That man said, be patient with me. I will pay you everything. Let me not sit on that matter too much. Let's talk about the grace. The grace that assumes I will be forgiven so I can do what is evil doesn't exist. That is, doesn't work. The faith, I wanted to say. If you make up your mind, you will do something wrong and say sorry. Let me tell you on God's behalf. The sorry is not acceptable. Let me say this to you clearly. God flogs his children. Have you heard this funny thing before? God disciplines you with his word. This is his word. Please. What does it mean? I don't know whether you get my point. What is the meaning of disciplining somebody with the word? It doesn't exist. Have you heard these people say before? If my father just says something that hurts, it just pains me. That's why you do it again. When he flogs you, you will stop. My daughter has some small, funny, bad habits when she was very small. I had a new car. And she decided that my fine leather upholstery inside the vehicle was a nice papyrus to write a letter to Timothy. So I said, don't do that. She said, okay. I think she couldn't resist it. She entered the car and said, see paper. My seat. This car was relatively new. The address for church. She had entered church. She carried pen and began to write, Dear Timothy, this letter I've written to you so that you know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. When the mother called my attention, I said, I told you before, don't do this. I said, yeah, no church for you today. Me and you, in the go house. Not a joke. I brought her from the car. The mother drove off without her. Now let's settle this matter. Because we are streaming, I shall not tell you what I did, but you can guess what happened. That's not the gist, though. Next time, our younger brother, Victory, took a pen to write on the car. The kid said, Victory, don't! Listen to what he said. He said, Daddy will flog you, won't go to church. She became a teacher of righteousness. She was a teacher of righteousness. That was the one. When he's done with you, no church for you. You know what? God does it. That's what the father does. That's how they discipline. You don't just talk. We are human. Talk, no, they walk. Elihu said it. He speaks once, twice. They don't pay attention. I was talking to some people the other day. They were describing a man. And do you know, I didn't know the story, but said the man had been seriously sick, but there were issues in his life when he sat down with some men of God and discussed and confessed his sins. You know, next day I heard, he said, I think since that time, the person telling the story, he said he began to recover. That is the imbalance in some of the faith teachings we have. Affliction is always the devil. It's not true. God sends affliction. Please, I'm begging you, believe me. It's scripture. You don't need to go into all these gymnastics of, like my brother would say, you don't have to sweat to dodge these scriptures. Remember one man came to teach us those. He came from America, very prominent minister. I wanted to teach us that the Bible says he has left, that he suffered for us and left an example for us to follow in his footsteps. And this man took almost an hour to explain that that scripture does not mean we will suffer. That means we will not suffer. I still remember I was very young. I was on campus and I was wondering, okay, how did you manage this? Because I know I did a bit of English. I studied mathematics. So if it's calculation you want to use to explain it, it doesn't seem to add up. If it's English you are using, the grammar is not following. Literally, the man was sweating to explain to us that we will not suffer because his footsteps that we're supposed to follow does not mean we'll suffer like he suffered, even though the Bible says he suffered that we can follow in his footsteps. You don't need to do gymnastics. Just understand God. What did I say his will is 100% of the times? Concerning health. Perfect health. But you also said that he sends sickness. Yes, I said he did. He does. He sends affliction. Yes, I did. Now, I said there's a difference between his decree, his pronouncements, the order he gives, and his will. Three things control his will. They control his decree. Three things. First, his will. And what he wants, what is his will? That which he wants. Like the word goes, will. That which he desires. Like the word goes, will. That which will please him. But he's just. So the second thing that controls what he decrees is your behavior and mine. In your life, what are the things you are doing? What are the things you are saying? What are the things you are neglecting to do? All of these things put together, very major factor. Then number three, crucial, the kind of prayers said before him. He adds the three together and issues forth a decree. So he'll say, I appear to the house of your fathers that you'll be priest before me forever. That's his will. That's his will. Then he says, now, far be it from me. That's the decree. What's the reason? He said, because he that honors me, I will honor. So his sons, I was talking to Eli, his sons had dishonored God. So those things caused God to put, no, God put things together. And listen, did you notice something that Eli did or did not do? Who can quickly tell me? What did he do or did not do? He did not pray. What did he say? He's the Lord. Let him do what he bloody cares about. Okay, didn't use our American slang. So let him do that which is pleasing in his sight. Now, I can sit down here and talk about why he may have said that. All right? Some of the reasons. Because sometimes you may be frustrated because you're going to read your scriptures. God said, if you have a son, we know the hear word. Amubo, keeping company, do kind of thing, does not agree to go to church, does not pray, does not repent. He said, you bring him before the elders and tell everybody, this boy is a bad boy. And your hand will be the first against him when they execute him. It's a commandment. So maybe Eli was frustrated because you see, he has spoken a few times to those boys, but he didn't do what he was supposed to do. Just one thing. What was it? Sack them. They were priests. They were men. Don't forget, married men. What he was supposed to do is sack them. You don't come and say, it's not good, though. Just come, tell the whole of Israel, Hophni and Phinehas are no longer priests before the Lord. They are not shepherds. They are farmers. They are smugglers. They smuggle good drugs. But not priests. He didn't do that. But where I'm going is that the third thing, which we said now, prayer, he did not do it. There may have been reasons, but let's not talk about the reasons. Let's just talk about the fact that he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what is pleasing in his sight. So no prayer, no pleading, no intercession. So God was forced to use only the first two. What is the will of God? That nobody should perish. But Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, was a very wicked city, representing a very wicked nation. Nineveh, that's the Assyrians, were wicked people. Nobody, God doesn't want anybody to perish. But because of their wickedness, what did he say? 40 days, your judgment commences. Because of what? Their wickedness. We see his will, right? We see their wickedness. And third, what happened? When Jonah told them, what did they do? He called the fast, national fast. Even animals could not eat. What was their reason? By adventure, God will show us mercy. The Lord added that to the mix. At the end, 40 days came. Jonah was the one saying that if you want to punish, you make up your mind before you start sending me on errand. God said, look, you said, look at it. Look at people. You know, let me tell you something about God. There are people who are stubborn in their iniquity because they don't know how merciful God is. God spoke a word against the house of Ahab. Ahab went home and cried. And God called the prophet and said, look at how Ahab has humbled himself before me. God, the prophet looked like, which Ahab? Do you know God has a dose of mercy on Ahab? For that, please, can I just beg you, don't marry a bad woman. What did I say? If you're a single man, don't marry a woman that does not go to church. Now, when I say go to church, I don't mean he's in the choir or an usher. I mean a woman who loves the Lord. Jezebel, of course, Ahab had his problem, but Jezebel was his number one problem. That repentance couldn't last. When Jezebel came back, the guy backslid, man. That girl was bad. You see anybody that names the daughter Jezebel this generation, reject the whole family. You meet a girl, say, my name is Jezebel. Just reject her father, reject her mother. Don't tell him God spoke to you to marry her. Nonsense. Because fear not supposed to allow you to call your daughter Jezebel. If you call daughter Jezebel, you get a problem. You are demon afflicted. Let me just put it like that. Let me know he's well possessed. That girl spots that name. When you want to abuse people now, you go look them. Jezebel. A lot of us get the point. Say, hey, what did she do? It has to be a bad thing. It can't be that she helped somebody in need. But the point I'm making is that Ahab repented. Do you know God forgave? If he had continued in his repentance, forgiveness would have been permanent. You know, God is not vindictive. Let me just explain something to you. I'll come back to my message. The Lord is not vindictive. No, he's vindictive. I was in a meeting this afternoon. Come and see quarrel. It was not a Christian meeting. We were just professionals. I kept on saying, okay, fine. What's the way forward? No. One woman looked at me. She said, we have not solved it. Oh. I said, we have solved it now. What's the way forward? No, we are not moving forward. I said, hey, Jesus, my Lord. I told myself, help you. You don't treat your husbands like this. Because they were two ladies. If this way, can I say something? Women, if you want to be fine, smile. No matter how fine you are, once you twist that face, you go, don't ugly finish. This is two very pretty women normally. When they twist face for me like this, I say, I beg you. I was just a peacemaker. I would just say so. The way I'm going, I say, what is the... No, say, no. It is not about forward. What happened last year? I said, please, people, last year has gone. Now, I'm trying to ask us to come together and plot the way forward. I said, no, sir. We can't go forward yet. The chairman of the meeting finally stood up. He said, see, I'm standing now. So everybody kept quiet. He gave us a decree of how we'll move forward. You know, as I was driving here, my phone rang. He was one on the phone. I tapped this thing. Hello, sir. He said, thank you very much. I said, God bless you, sir. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall what? They see God. So So I will see God today. Where I'm going is that God is not like that. I thought about it. I said, Kai, they were so insistent, this other one must be fixed. There was injustice. It has to be addressed. It has been addressed. Let's move on now. They said, no. Let me tell you how God is. God says, that was injustice. Yes. So what is the way forward? Once forward is full of justice, it doesn't discuss the past injustice. That's where I'm going. See, you kill Stephen. That's not the problem. Stephen that you kill, he's not in heaven with me. It's okay. Are you guys planning to kill Barnabas? Paul said no. Will you kill Epaphroditus? Paul said no. Okay, when you finally meet Peter, are you going to kill him? Paul said no. Will you supervise those who will execute John the Beloved? Paul said no. Hey, go say, forget it then. You were involved in the killing of Stephen, but henceforth you kill nobody any longer. And you know what? And God will forgive it. Turn the story around that without your involvement in the killing of Stephen, they won't have Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, all those letters of Paul, the way to Philemon, and Hebrews. They won't have them. I believe he wrote Hebrews. That's my own opinion. He's not vindictive. There's somebody I talk to once in a while because we chat among the chat group. Okay, so I tell him, I said, see, this your God, Christ, evil, don't, it's a white man's religion. There's no God, ancestors. I told him, I said, you know your problem? Your problem that you don't believe you can be forgiven of all the iniquities you've done in this your life. I said, that's why. Because you see, if you own up to who Christ is and the Father is, and you feel you will not be forgiven, you will die of the mental stress. It's called ego defense. So you continue the denial. So I kept and said, oh boy, leave this thing. If you ask for forgiveness, he will forgive you. What am I saying? God forgives. What did I say?
God forgives.
What did I say?
God forgives.
Say one more time.
God forgives.
His will, I said, is always healing, blessing, good. But does he ever decree evil? Yes. There was one scripture he used there. Let me see whether I can find it quickly so as not to cause us time. God said, I'm about to invent evil against these people. Somebody said, he only allows. No, that's why I said, no, leave that allow thing. He said, I'm about to invent or devise evil against these people because of the iniquity that they were involved in. Iniquity of their hearts. He said, I will invent. He said, the kind of evil I will do against them does not exist right now. But you know the Bible says, he's slow to anger, was abundant in loving kindness. He quickly forgives. Assyria sinned for a long time. They repented for a few days. Judgment was suspended. They had been sinning for generations. Slow to anger. Then Noah said, Jonah said, whoa, destruction starts 40 days. In less than 40 days, God heard them. Sin that had gone on for not just 40 years, but for generations. That's the meaning of his slow to anger, but abundant in loving kindness. Very quick to forgive. He's quick with mercy. So I'm emphasizing the meaning of the will of God and the decree or the judgment or the, you know, pronouncement of the Almighty. Nothing on this earth, nothing in this universe happens without his decree. Satan cannot even lie to you. Except God says, go and prosper in the lie. People don't like to believe. But it's scripture. If God says you can't be deceived, there's no amount of deception they want to try. They won't get you. It's the decree of the Lord. He is the Lord. He and the devil are not two boxing, you know. Anthony Joshua is fighting a Gypsy King. What's the name of Gypsy King? Eh? Tyson Fury. So one of them is the devil, one of them is God. In the same ring. The devil won't come to that ring. If God enters the ring, the devil will go and be watching from afar, the end of the stadium, using binoculars. Say, who won't fight? You want to know who the devil fight? It's you and me. We enter a ring, we jump there too. And the only thing I can do is, has God really said? Has God really said? to gather accusation against you. That's all they can do. Let's get back to our message. So bear this in mind. What is the will of God? That which he really wants. What is the decree? His judgment. He puts three things into account. One, his will. Two, your acts, our acts. Both spoken, thought, acted, all of them put together. And three, the prayers. Sometimes the prayer is said by you. Sometimes it's said by somebody else for you. Did you get my point? As crazy as Sodom and Gomorrah was, they could have been spared because of the intercession of Abraham. If some things were in place. I hope you're getting my point. That's the way it works. So the will of God is healing, but sometimes it will pronounce death. It will pronounce sickness. His will is that nobody should die. Ananias married a girl called Sapphira, and two of them lied against the Holy Spirit. And both of them died in one day. And according to one man of God, it was the holiness of God being preserved. And that one said, God is setting an exemplary judgment. So anybody lying against the Holy Spirit, just know what's waiting for you in front. It may not happen immediately, but it will happen. Let me say something about iniquity. Get rid of it. What did I say?
Get rid of it.
Get rid of it. You see, confess your sins and forsake them. You know the reason? If you don't, the judgment for the iniquity is kept and is added onto. And you keep adding it. So, forsake wrath. Forsake iniquity. It's very important. Do you know there's this man? It's an example for us in scripture. Joab, very faithful servant of David. Joab was his nephew, right? Yeah, was his nephew. Because the sister Zariah was their mother. Very faithful servant of David. He had two brothers, very powerful warriors like himself. Then, one day, now, there are two stories now. He killed Abner. Because Abner got angry with the son of Saul and decided to give the kingdom over to David. So when Abner came, you know the story, to see David, they told Joab, because he wasn't there, Joab pursued him and killed him. Partly because of his own, because Abner was in war, Abner senior. But then Abner had killed his brother. Was he Asahel? Asahel. And it was war. That was what they called the blood of war. So it didn't count. It wasn't murder. And after all, Abner begged Asahel, go back. He said, listen, if I kill you, man, just I like to gist more gist in that area. Man, pass man. Asahel was fast-footed. He could pursue. He knew how to ride the chariot. He wanted to get a name for himself that I'm the one that took down Abner. Abner saw him, Asahel. Said, turn to the left, turn to the right, fight small, small boys. Don't come near here. Abner wouldn't listen. He said, he begged him. I said, man, pass man. It was the way he killed him that was the issue. He didn't turn back. The back of his spear. Just give him the back of his spear. Look, boy, look, they are warriors. Don't, just because you are knocking everybody down in featherweight. In Asa Anthony Joshua. You give one blow, your joke. Your jaw will break. You know this boy, what's the name of this YouTuber? Jake Paul, that decided to fight, you're fighting for money. And the judge could have killed him the first round, but people pay to watch, so he had to prolong the fight. So they kept on fighting. At the end of the day, he broke the guy's jaw in two places. Yeah, he broke his jaw in two places. Tell your neighbor, man, pass man. So just joking. Abner passed Asahel by far. That thing pinned Joab. So Joab killed Abner for it. When Abner was not expecting, he just said, wait, the king said I should tell you something. This is where I'm going. Do you know nothing happened? David cried. He mourned. Especially to show the whole of Israel that had nothing to do with the death of Abner. What's the name of the other person he killed? It's not Abishai, was it? Huh? No, not Absalom. Absalom was killed during war, even though David was angry with him, but Amasa. He killed these people, and this is where I'm going. Nothing happened. That's where I'm going. Do you know? That's my story. Nothing happened. He was a man of God. Now, I'm adapting it now. He followed the Lord. He served in church. He gave offerings. He did everything. Nothing happened. But you know what? David did not forget. Told Solomon, see, because of these people, make sure he doesn't die in peace. Make sure he doesn't die a peaceful old man. You have to remove, now that's the point, you have to remove the iniquity from the land. That if that guy dies peacefully, anger, the wrath of God will come upon this land. So he told him, watch it. You are a wise man. You know what to do. Solomon watched him. At the first opportunity, bam. He told, I think it was Benaiah, come on, kill him. Say, run to the altar. Kill him there. Where I'm going to see, do you know? The sin was piled up. Brethren, repent of sin, so. Confess your sin, so. Confess to God. Sometimes you have to confess to a man. But please, don't let it pile. And what God said, just acknowledge it. Don't, it's not about dramatic, being dramatic. Just say, Lord, I did this, it was wrong. Then you can clean it off. Otherwise, the judgment will pile. One spiritual Solomon one day will come and send one Benaiah after you. And let me tell you about Satan. That's what he does. He goes around packing accusations. He has a broom and a packer. Small accusation, he will pack it. He'll be packing it. When the thing is full, God is judged. He's just. When he presents it, the cup is full. God will be very unhappy about it, but he will do it. God doesn't just do what is good to him. He does what is right first. You know, the other day I was, okay, of course, some of us traveled, me and Torre. We were discussing this in church there. When Jehoshaphat and co. attacked King of Moab, do you remember the story? That he sacrificed his son that should have become king after him. And the indignation turned against Israel. Have you ever asked yourself why? A man offered a human sacrifice to a false god, and Israel was afflicted. Well, I won't sit on it, okay? But the point is that certain transactions took place that even though God was on the side of Israel, he told them, not this time. Guys, go back. When they wouldn't listen, push them back by force. Don't forget, it was the land of Moab. They had no right to it. It was the land of Moab. If you remember, they didn't have right to the land of Moab, Mount Seir, and Ammon. Don't try those people. Descendants of Esau and descendants of Lot. Say, no, don't. One word, that guy got his petition across to heaven. And God told Israel, go back. It's not what he feels good, what feels good to him. Is what is right. Is what is right. So make sure they tell you on the side of right. Don't let your emotions make you do what is not right. That's why I said, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Exercise yourself for the purpose of godliness. Godliness is hard work. Don't go to a church of grace that says it doesn't matter. Hyper grace churches, hyper grace teachings, we didn't see, they are very nice sounding. They soothe the ears. You know what it means to have itchy ears? Your ear is itchy. Have you ever had itchy skin? Mosquito don't bite you before. You have an allergy. You know when they scratch it? You know? So, you know, sometimes a place is itching me. I don't scratch it. I call my wife to scratch it. So I can close my eyes. So yeah, do it again. Itch, scratching and itch is sweet. Wrong doctrine is sweet. That's where I'm going. If you want to hear bad thing, when they are teaching you, you'll be shouting, woo, woo, preaching, pastor. You'll be so excited. I was in church today. Whoa, the world was gone. God said, this guy, he get itch, they don't scratch him for him. When we're young, how many of you, Elder John, do you remember? Itching for a scratch. There was a song when we were young. Okay, sorry. Me and you, we were not young at the same time. So that itch, they go back to the church next Sunday. Then they scratch the ear for them with bad doctrines, wrong doctrines. The Bible says they are healing the hearts of the daughters of my people slightly. Saying what? Peace, peace. When indeed, there's no peace. Wrong doctrine is sweet too. Did you come in there saying, yes, it's not you, it's your flesh. It's not me, it's not you. It's my flesh. Ah, thank God. Worship the Lord because he has forgiven you. Father God, I want to thank you because I did not sin. No. Is this flesh? Born the flesh. But me, I'm saved. There's no problem. This flesh, I go soon touch up. What am I going to say? See, these false doctrines, let me say to you. Grace does not cover sin. It empowers you to do right. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Mercy is what? And mercy is activated by confession of sin. It's activated by repentance. What is grace? Neither do I condemn you. That's mercy. Go! And sin no more. That's grace. Grace empowers you to depart from iniquity. It empowers you to deny the flesh. Grace will say, I don't care how many people around you are doing it, you will not. In the day of God's judgment, nobody will have an excuse. The thing was too powerful. God said, when sin was abounding, grace was much more abounding. You didn't tap into the grace. That's what the sin is. Any doctrine that makes you feel good. Do you know, funny enough, some people who are there to those doctrines, think about it twice now, I've heard it. They tell me how it helped them. Like my wife was telling the sister or something to her about a week ago. They said, when I got to this church, he said, before, if I confess it for this, I'll be feeling bad. My wife said, that was saving your life. You were feeling bad for iniquity for this. That was saving your life. He said, but now, I just confess. I know God knows I'm sorry. I've forgotten it. My wife said, this is why now you're in danger. Now you're in danger. A serious affliction has come to your soul. You are not eager to cure it. They healed your heart slightly, saying, peace, peace, when indeed there was no peace. Please, it is not true that Ananias and Sapphira were not Christians. Yeah, I've heard somebody prominent, I won't mention names, prominent preachers say it. One particular very prominent one, he tried to prove, I said, the only argument he has that they are not Christians is that God killed them. Yeah, it's the only argument. The Bible made it clear that they were. But he said for God to have killed them, they could not have been. Meaning what? Meaning nothing. Absolute balderdash. Those who know told us. One man even identified who struck them. One good thing about this, one particular man I listened to recently, an old American teacher. He said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Ananias and Sapphira what happened. Now, when he said it, I paused. He said they were Christians. So he believed that they made heaven. I'm not saying he's wrong. But they died. His own argument is that they were true believers. And God used them as examples. Don't do this in the house of God. So nobody should lie to you. Simon the sorcerer, the Bible says, Simon also believed. He was baptized. Yet when he came to exchange money for the gift of God, Peter said to him, prophetically, your money perish with you. He would have perished. Were he not, he quickly repented. Ah, Peter, they keep people. And I guess you don't know, he learned it from somewhere. And the person who taught him, you know. People look at Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, not a hot a fly. I said, just make sure you're not a fly. When he blow you. I had a discussion once. Somebody said, there's no way in the New Testament you say, I say, hey, wait. He said, that woman, Jezebel, I will cast down the bed of affliction. I will strike her children dead. And then who said that? In which testament? I said, look, relax. The person couldn't answer me. Apparently, he never thought about it. I said, Jesus opened his mouth clearly. And one man said, no, Jesus didn't say it. I didn't hear him say that part, but I heard him say the other part. Said that John did not know what he was seeing or hearing. How can you write that the lion of the tribe of Judah? Say, when Jesus become a lion, Jesus can never be a lion, he's a lamb. I don't know whether he's wrong or right. All I know that he's bold. You get some kind things going off he talk. Even if Elder John, not this Elder John, but the real Elder John in the Bible. Even if he was drunk, I can't tell him. I just be quiet. Whatever he says, he says in the spirit, or God, maybe in the spirit. This man said, the fact that you are an elder and the fact that you are in the spirit doesn't mean you know what you are saying. No, if I didn't hear it before the days of AI, if it is now, they give that to me, I say, nah, AI. That anybody that will say this must first have taken Mukuye. You know what they call Mukuye? You don't know what's Mukuye. You don't know anything yet. All right? They must have used Ugburumiri on top of it. Then give himself crack. Then when those things work together in your life, you cannot say such things. But I don't believe that you can say that if you are normal. Brethren, you want to know the truth? He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He devours the prey. He does. He devours. He tears flesh. That's who he is. However, it's never his will. What did I say?
It's never his will.
It's never his will. His will is always healing. His will is always blessing. His will is always deliverance. His will is always a sound body and mind. His will is always long life and prosperity. His will, that's his will. But many times, we don't let him execute that will. So, this man, why are you emphasizing this thing? And I'm telling you the reason is because I want Christians to repent. Any devil you cast out that doesn't go out probably has permission to stay there. So go and find out. Once, a few years ago, the Lord helped me understand the difference between what happened in the time of John and the time of Jesus Christ. Jesus could not have healed any of those Israelites, any of the Jews, when that John went ahead of him. They were people of the covenant. God wasn't demonstrating healing in them at all. He had to go, John had to go ahead and preach repentance. And he came with the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It's called the first and second days of the visitation of the Lord. Then on the third day, Jesus came. John baptized, and the Bible testifies, John was speaking, that's John the Beloved was speaking about John the Baptist, that he did no mighty work. He didn't have to. They had a covenant. He did not have to. They had the laws of Moses. He didn't have to. They knew God hereditarily. They were circumcised. God did not owe them any sign. When they asked for a sign, he said, you are an evil and adulterous generation, wanted a sign. So John didn't come with signs. He came with conviction-provoking preaching. The Spirit was upon him to convict you of your sin. And he baptized people, and God forgave them. He said, now you are ready for the third day of the Lord. And the third day when Jesus came, he began to touch them and they were getting healed. He began to speak and they were getting healed. He began to spit and they were getting healed. He began to say, do all kinds of miracles amongst them. Why? Because they had been baptized by John. But the Bible says the scribes and the Pharisees, they frustrated the counsel of God for their lives, having not been baptized by John. They rejected the baptism of John. And the baptism of John was available to anybody who was willing to repent. They were not willing to repent. So, when you hear in Acts chapter 10, when Jesus got to the house of Cornelius, he said, you've heard of Jesus? They said, yes. You've heard of how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That is where a lot of us, teachers of the word, we miss it. We say every sickness and oppression. No, it's not true. There's what is called a just captive. When does sickness become an oppression? In their context, it became an oppression, or it became oppression after John had baptized them. Before then, it was not oppression. It was just serpents biting the people. It was not oppression. They murmured against God and against Moses. But when they went to Moses, let's get back to it now. And when they went to Moses and they confessed their sins and they repented of their sins, the next snake bite was oppression. Because those snakes, they hear. They don't easily hear come. So God has to enforce come on them. That's the way it goes. So it's the same serpents were there in Israel, biting people with blindness, biting them with all kinds of things. They went to John. We have seen they were baptized and God forgave them. He now said, now go and look to the lamb on the pole. Look at the serpent. And see, many of them started looking. How did they look? They went to hear and be healed. How did they look? Jesus will be teaching, they will come and pay attention. And a woman will say, if I may, and I'm going to read in a moment, if I may but touch the hem of his garments, I will be healed. Are you following that? I have no doubt in my heart, even though it's not stated expressly, that that woman was baptized by John. I hope you're getting my point. Why am I explaining all of this? Christians, one key to healing is repentance. The devil you tell to go with that doesn't go. Ask God, why is he there? What is he holding on to? The affliction that refuses to go away, ask yourself, what is it holding on to? It must be holding on to something. And that thing, you have to collect it from him, destroy the hold it has. We need to do that. Destroy the hold it has. I'm talking to Christians. The principles that apply to unbelievers is slightly different. They are slightly different. That's why I kept on emphasizing in Israel that they had a covenant, they had a circumcision, they had those things. And God said, no healing for you until the baptism of John. So John came baptizing. It was a gospel of forgiveness by repentance. Repent. Be aligned to the, that. See, the iniquity in the lives of Christians, they differ. They are all kinds. They are all kinds. We know the common breaking of common laws, moral laws, stealing, sexual immorality, you know, fraud, lying. We know those kind of things. All right? But I wish we'll understand that it's much more than that when it comes to believers. We see one in the Bible, not rightfully discerning the body of Christ. Paul was writing to the Corinthians. He said, for this reason, many are sick amongst you. Some even die. Why? They do not rightfully discern the body. They eat the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ unworthily. And the unworthiness in it had to do with the way they related with other believers. There was a man whose field produced in abundance. And he said to his soul, my soul, rest. You and I wouldn't think it's a sin. On the street, why should that be a sin? He built a bigger barn, bigger investment, more bank accounts. Said, my soul, rest. You have much good laid up for years to come. And Jesus said, you fool. What was the sin? It was not rich towards God. It was laying up treasure on the earth. Do you know there have been people who are angry with God, and that's the cause of their sickness? Why are they angry? Because maybe one pastor came, lied to them. He lied. What do I mean by lie? Say, if you do something dangerous for the Lord will do this for you by next week. So the person saved for 2.5 years to buy a car, gave it out, which would not have been a bad thing. To give your car to the gospel, is it bad?
No.
To give a house for the cost of the gospel, is it bad?
No.
Go and read the story of Brother Andrew. He sold the only house he had so he can print tiny Bibles. Except that it's iniquity now because they say with that you will tie the hand of God. You will unlock God's padlock against your blessing or the devil's padlock. So after 2 weeks, nothing happened. After 3 weeks, nothing happened. After 6 months, this person is not angry with God. God says, see me. That particular service, I didn't even come. The angels that I sent said, they told the man not to say. They even told you, don't answer him. But your covetousness will not let you see. So you don't go to church again. Like something, my daughter posted in her status. So I don't go to church because of hypocrites. But you go to work and it's full of hypocrites. You go to market. Do you know how many hypocrites are in the market? It's church now. You now say they are hypocrites. Nonsense. Some people like that, they have refused to go to church. Then also started because of anger and bitterness. Why are they angry? Because they believe the false doctrine. If you are listening to me and you are like that, let me tell you. You are a victim of scam. A spiritual scam. Do you get my point? God didn't defraud you. Those people, God didn't come to church. You know, I told you, like, they said, I didn't come. Banky, tell her I didn't come to church. One woman, one day, she was in hospital. He called one of our guys. Some of you know who I'm talking about. And that one, our pastor. I want to go see her. Say, Pastor, why am I sick? Sir, people they sick now. I don't know. So after I gave my land to God. I said, what? Did you tell her that is why she's sick? Because if I'm the one, I was like, I didn't even know why you were sick. Now you have told me. That land is the reason why you are sick. By the way, church will not give you back. That one don't enter voicemail. But that you think is the key to perpetual health is why you are here. Many years ago, one brother wrote us. He was going for a job interview. He wrapped his interview with mantle. He anointed the envelope with oil. He used a special seed to tie the hands of God. And he dropped it, the application. The day he got the letter of rejection, he also got a letter of sack from the former job he had. That day, he lost his job. And God said, I'm not your servant, I'm your God. I decide, you don't decide because you gave offering. How much? 100,000 naira offering. The woman's heaven was full of smoke because Solomon sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. Let me just tell you, 1,000 burnt offerings is good, amen?
Amen.
But God said, the kind of sacrifice I deserve, the whole of Lebanon is not enough to burn. And when you talk about Lebanon, we're talking about the cedars of Lebanon. All the animals on the earth, they are not enough for a burnt offering. You give 1,000 burnt offerings. If you want to worship God, worship him. Stop counting. I gave you 1,000 burnt offerings. That day, I felt like, I tell my guy, did you tell her that's why she's sick? Because I'm if it's now, I will tell you that's why you're sick. Why are you sick? Your tithes and your offerings. That's why you're sick. They're not complete. No. It's because they are too complete. Because they give you a false confidence. So instead of you approaching God on the basis of what Jesus has done on the cross and your knowledge of his mercy towards you, you came with unnecessary boldness. You wore ordinary nylon. You call it Odish. You get my point? You want to go to war, they give you 5 naira poly bag. You think it's Kevlar. Your good works is polythene paper. Kevlar is the spirit of Christ. It's the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. We replied that young man, I said, at least now God has told you it doesn't work like that. It's good. It's good you learned it early. I'm talking about the kind of sins Christians commit. Go and read your Bible. To do despite to the blood of Jesus. To not rightfully descend the body of Christ. I give you the same thing now. Christ, his body, his blood. It's very annoying in heaven. I've been telling you again and again, if you want to ask God for something, ask him. Don't quote anything that is like good works. Dear Lord, you know, I give to your servant, I give to your church, I give to this one. So, God just said two angels, beat that boy. Because you've reduced the impact of the blood of Jesus in your life. And the flogging is for correction. Nobody say the vex. See, doing good feels good. Amen?
Amen?
If God has trained you, doing good feels good. Maybe you have a millionaire and you went to church. They said something is about to happen. They want to send two missionaries somewhere. You give them 500,000. Then your neighbor shout, hey, help me. What happened?
My child, he fell down from a motorcycle. His leg is now there in the car. You have to go to the hospital. And you know what? You give them 100K. By the time you finish, or 1 million and now remains 50K. Let me be honest with you. If you're a Christian, you will feel happy.
Yeah, you will. If you are a non-believer that goes to church, you'll be saying, God, now you'll bless me back. All right, those are unbelievers that go to church. Christians, they feel good when they've done good. This is where I'm going. Do you know? So sometimes, it's happened to me before. At times like that, there's no need to pray about something. Now, I was feeling good before, right? Why was I feeling good? Because of good work. Thank you. I've done good. Feeling righteous. Feeling, myself, I'll be child of God. They're the name children of God. God knows I've been picking too now. But thank God for how he has used us. Then if I need to kneel down and ask God for something, you know, I got to a point. I actually tell the Lord, you know that 1 million naira? This is how expensive, And now I want to pray. I just want to, first of all, apologize for bringing that good feeling to this place. Yeah. No, for me, it got to that point. I said, dear Lord, see that good feeling I was having? It has nothing to do with this prayer. That is just my feeling. Please, let me confess that I have come by faith in what Jesus did, not what I did. Do you know, I literally confessed that good work out of my life first before we start praying. You know why? I'm not fish out. You know the meaning of I'm not fish out? I'm not fish out. I don't want trouble. I literally will say, some people might be bragging, me? Fear comes upon me. Say, Bank, you want to pray? Are you sure you won't postpone the prayer until your good feeling has gone down? Say, no, let's confess it away. Say, Lord, I did some good works and I want to thank you for the Spirit. Remember, it is by your grace. You are the one at work within me, both to will and to do your good pleasure. That money, say, Lord, let's talk about it. Whose money is it? Who gave it here? Hey, Lord, thank you very much for finding me worthy to send on a financial errand. You know, if it's 5 years ago, I would have eaten the money. But now I've grown. Thank you. I give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, what I want to say next has nothing to do with that. I've come because you love me and I'm your son. I mean, if you don't bless me, who else will you bless, you know? You know, if a man doesn't bless his children, who you won't bless before? Yeah, you can say such things to God. After all, you're my father, you have money. Where's Jonah? I'll say, Baba. Say, oh, I did your hand. What will he come for you now? You never heard that slang before? The slang, this guy's who rap. Say, oh, I did your hand now. What will he come? And as I tell the Lord, you have money like this, I go, can't they broke? For what? Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we separate the two. Let's go back to iniquity. Some Christians go there, Father God, I did something you do for me. God said, 6 months admission. Nonsense talk.
Collect.
6 months admission. What kind of rubbish is this one? What do you do for me? I'll say, all right, good, good, good. Let's do our calculation. I'll tell you the price of heartbeat and breath. When they come, and I'll give you discount, massive discount. Because without a discount, you know if you pay. So when God calculates, say, all this is your good works. It was good enough for the first 1 minute of yesterday on massive discount. So from now on, your heart will do like this. You never pay now. When you want to breathe, you'll be breathing. Say, Lord, why can't I breathe? Will they do calculation? You are owing now. So I give you my credit. Show your balance sheet. Man, deep red. I said, Lord, why are you doing like this? And I said, who started it? You started it now. He said, Lord, okay. Oh, your counselor. I said, better. Tell the angel, remove your hand from his throat. Don't choke him again. Yes. That's why good people sometimes, they forgot to answer them. It is hard. Because they feel too good with themselves. No, I'm not like the other people. Once they say like that, God says, They're like, who now? We'll be serious children of God to say, is that so? So? And you go do something now. After, you know the offering I gave last week. Because they multiply it. In the third degree, they'll multiply it. Because how much you give? It's 500,000. Say, hey, what multiplication do you want? Say, 100-fold. Good. Tell one ninja, calculate for them. 500,000 times 10 is 5 million times 100 is what? 50 million. Give me 50, give her 50 million. Give me 50 million. Say, good. As they go, say, give her 100 million trouble. He said, why trouble? He said, hey, wait, yesterday. Your mother called you, you hung the phone. You pretended you didn't hear. Look, they count that thing. Ah, no, be counting with it. You count your own?
I count my own.
Say, Lord, ah, wait. Say, Lord, say, wait. When your husband spoke the other day, you didn't tell him to get away. Can you tell the Lord, get away? But they count it. Say, I didn't count everything, no, just a few. That's the one Satan just dusted from the ground. He brought it before the throne. I just say, give small judgment. Just 100 million. Let me tell you how to do it. Just say, Lord, no calculation. Say, the blood of Jesus. Say, I come by the blood. Say, good. Say it again. I come by the blood. Thank you very much. Say, if I hear nonsense in your mouth, I'm telling you the truth. Not rightfully discerning the sacrifice of Jesus is one major reason Christians are in trouble. Refusing to prioritize the word of God. It counts against you. It's not all just moral sins. How do you use your tongue? Remember, they murmured against God and against who? Moses. Ah, who have you been murmuring against? So I say to Christians, please, repent. Stop blaming the devil. God is in your life. That hear an amen?
Amen.
Say, God is with me.
God is with me.
Say, my father is with me.
My father is with me.
And there's no foreign God with me.
The devil
is not controlling you. Let's get back to reading. We're reading something, right?
Yes, sir.
That's how I began all of this. Then the Lord said to Moses in verse 8. Okay, in verse 7, he said, and Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fairy serpent and set it on a standard, that is a pole, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And indeed, it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, we know we read it in the Amplified Bible. It's not just a glance. It's a kind of look. He said in verse 9, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked to the serpent of bronze attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. I want you to understand. What I began to do last week was to get us to look properly, to look in the right direction. I explained something last time, that one of the things that this world tries to do is to get us to look in the wrong direction. Medical science has advanced. Today I heard a new one. God have mercy. Somebody say, Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
You know, I tell you that medical science, they are very, very advanced, humanly speaking. But half of the things they tell you, they are not true. It's even worse. Eh? Half of those who are telling you don't even know it. Those early days, I'm wiser now. Those early days, I sat at home. I watched one of my colleagues talking on television. Talk about cholesterol, talk about this. I saw her at work next day. I said, madam, I saw you yesterday on television telling lies. I should have been nicer. I didn't use the word telling lies. I said, what you were saying was not true. After a while, there was she turned the argument. I said, she have gone personal. Leave that. Because I saw what she was saying. And this woman was a specialist. Deceiving Ndi Enugu. Not her fault. That's how knowledge is. I happen to just have taken time. Okay, I did my postgraduate study on that thing she was handling that day. And I realized what she was saying wasn't true. Except that years later, I was proven right, even medically. And she was proven wrong. You know, I heard something today. I can't tell you now because I was hurrying to get here. I couldn't get the information. That the major heart associations in the world, they just came together recently to say another thing. That we are sorry. This thing we said was killing you was not killing you. That we found out that it's something else in the society. As I laugh and say, those of you have been hearing me for a long time. You know, I've been saying it for a long time. You see, they are not bad people. They are just people. Did you catch it?
Yes, sir.
They're human beings. They change their mind all the time. There was a time, I'll give this illustration. There's what they call PSA, prostate-specific antigen. It's something you can test in the blood. So they tell men, if you hit the age of 50, thereabout, and then you must go for the test once in a while. Alright? There's a number of years. Then when they figure this amount, it's good idea, go for tests and all of that. The man who invented it, a few years ago, He said using prostate-specific antigen tests to check whether men have prostate cancer or not is nothing better than the toss of a coin. He said it's one of the most colossal of the waste of public funds ever. Actually, he said the most colossal of waste of public funds ever. That's a man who invented the test. If you don't go to church, you are not normal. If you don't pray, you are begging for hardship. If you don't say to the Lord, have mercy on me, you don't want to live in peace. So. This was a man who, please, I'm not trying to, oh, please, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that doctors are not good. They are good people. They try to help. God uses them to work wonders. What I'm just saying is that I think you have too much faith in human beings. Pray. What did I say?
Pray.
Pray. What did I say?
Pray.
You must pray. You must pray. You must pray. I heard that one today. Oh, I heard it, ma, from a professor of pharmacology. So I didn't hear it on the street, though. He was trying to explain some things, the necessity to do some things. He said, he mentioned the association. Yeah, he just came up with this one. He said, but I was in a hurry. I would have gotten it from him. I would still call him. He said, sir, Oba, that's what you tell me. Where is it? I said, look to the Lord on the cross. That's where healing comes from. Anyone who will look to him attentively, expectantly, with what? A steady and absorbing gift. We live. That's what I'm talking. That's what I've been trying to teach since last time. I'm trying to direct people's focus. See, there was a time they introduced calorie counting. I said, this science thing, is one of the most confusing things in this life. When we're young, those days. You know, now I've been delivered from many of these things. They said that if you want to lose weight, there was a time I wanted to lose weight, and I was not up to half of this size. I wonder what heaven is thinking and laughing. He said, you see, there was a time back he wanted to lose weight. I thank God for some of these men I meet once in a while. They let me know how slim I am. I saw some men recently. I go look like this, When you say dimension, I realize that I'm not doing badly. Those days, I wanted to lose weight. So, I think my one lady, my neighbor, she actually taught me how to cook okra without any oil and to come out tasty. I can still see that day she was doing like that. I said, Because we're taught, and it's true, the amount of calorie in, you know what they call calories, right? In carbohydrates and proteins, they are the same. But the one in fat and oil, all right, is very large. So if you can cut out the fat and oil and just be eating carbohydrate or protein, you go slim down. So we did calculation, you know, you use dy dx to try and decide what thing you go chop. Let me just say something. This human body, there's nothing as complicated as it. The thing complicate. You know, there's something that complicate. This thing is complicated. Just by the way, let me just tell you what will happen later. Not to me, to the medical world, the scientific world. They found that those who didn't eat oil added weight. And those who ate oil, they seem not to add weight. Same kind of. But that's what I like about science. They will say, why? So they begin to research only for us to now find out later. Do you know the reason? The main thing, there are many things, all right? But one of the major things is what is called satiety index. If you eat food without oil, you keep on eating. You go chop. You will never feel full. A bit of oil in it, once your body feels the oil, it says, oh boy, enough. And the sense of enough is the most important factor in the amount of calories you collect. That sense of enough is why they tie people's stomach, put a clip there. They feel full. There's one drug that's making the waves now, Ozempic. Ozempic just makes you feel full all the time. You eat, the food will not move. Don't worry. It's 1.7 million a month, so don't bother. And when you stop, all the weight where you lose, it will come rushing back. This time around, free of charge. To come back, the weight no go charge you anything. You know, go charge you. You will have taken that 1.7 million every month for 2 years. We're all slim. Then you not stop. Over the next 1 year, free of charge, the way to come back. This human body is so complicated. When I found out that so, my eating useless soup was not helping me. Because that way I couldn't chop extra about. God just looking at something and say, you guys, you don't understand what you are doing. People look, you keep on looking to science. No. Look and live. Look to the Lord and do what? And live. And this is what I'm trying to teach. And for what I want to teach today, all right, is how to, I'm looking for something now. Things to do to show you are looking. Are you getting my point? There's something Kenny Hagin said once. I've never forgotten it. I was talking about calorie counting. Yeah. Calorie counting is unbelief. What did I say? I don't know what I said. That's what I said. What is calorie counting? And please, if you're a calorie counter, I came with a message from the Lord to you today. Stop that rubbish. Tell your neighbor, stop that rubbish.
Stop that rubbish.
Turn to your neighbor, say, stop that nonsense.
Stop that nonsense.
Everything they give you, you could bring a calculator. They give how many calories, suppose, just because you want to lose weight and remain healthy. The problem with such things is that usually they take too much time from you. Thanksgiving has little time. You are so obsessed. Yeah, I say that to you directly. Stop calorie counting. You're a healthy person. Stop it. Stop it. Eat what is set before you in moderation. Give thanks. You know, the Lord helps with moderation. I don't know about you, but me, he helps me with moderation. He has so helped me these days that I have a rule, my wife knows it. If I'm not hungry, I'm not eating. I need to feel the hunger first. It didn't come from reading scripture alone. No. Reading scripture gave me a spirit. But experience alone taught me. If you eat that food, it will disturb you. So I've learned now, if I'm not hungry, I'm not eating. I don't care how, I'm not eating. Just leave it. I'm not eating. Once I feel full, I'm not eating. And when I'm hungry, I eat. And I ain't, sorry to my English, I eat anything I bloody like. Whether it has sugar or oil or whatever, I eat it. I give the Lord thanks. Kenny Hagin said that all this nonsense of check, he said, look, if it doesn't have nutrients, I put it in by faith. If he has excess of something, I take it out by faith. When the man said it, I said, this man is not joking here. He said, this food is sanctified by the word of God and thanksgiving. When I cried, I said, Father, I want to thank you as the provider. Thank you for this food in Jesus' name. I have spoken to things that are not good. Get out. By faith, my body will do selective absorption. Yeah, if it's not good for me, don't absorb it. That's what faith does. Listen, Peter sank. Not because water. Please, I'm not talking to unbelievers. And if you are not a believer, I forbid you from analyzing what I'm saying. Because I'm not talking to you. I have a classmate, a non-believer, of course. You see something. I said, oh boy, why don't you mind your business? Well, no, I don't defend Bible things before him. I said, they are not talking to you. One day he said that one old man mutilated himself, circumcision, and started hearing voices and tried to kill his son. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Now, if you're in a medical field, that's hallucination. That's a mental disorder you're describing. He said, it's amazing that thousands of years later, 2 billion people don't see anything wrong with that. You think I argued? I said, at least you agree it happened. Let's leave it like that. It doesn't concern you. He did not mutilate you. He mutilated himself. He didn't sacrifice your son. He sacrificed his own son. Before he killed the boy, the same person who spoke to him told him, stop, gave him a ram, and the person blessed him exceedingly. You're talking nonsense. But I don't argue. I just say, they are not talking to you. He will talk like that. What thing concern you? Are these ancestors speaking? They are not, because he says he worships ancestors. Where I'm going, all the things I'm saying, if you are not the child of God, if you are not part of the tribe or the race called Homo sapiens Christus, I'm not talking to you. If you are Homo sapiens Adamus alone, I'm not talking to you. Your body probably does not respond to the word of God. Hours do. Listen, for you, those of you who are here, listen to what I want to say. If it is poisonous, you won't absorb it.
Amen.
Yeah, I've spoken. The Lord has spoken, and it will work. Your intestinal cells will wake up and rearrange. The Spirit will speak to them and say, absorb this, don't absorb that. But it will not happen that a poisonous thing will hurt you.
Amen.
That is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that faith is what we're talking about. Let's look to the cross. Let's look to the Lamb. I believe very strongly that everything about you, your flesh, your skin, your intestines, you know, your brain, your muscles, your bone, every single bit will be totally healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That the healing power of God is your portion, is your portion.
Yes.
The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, as we are speaking now, is working in you.
Amen.
And by it, God is giving life to your mortal body.
Amen.
Let's look at the habit. Quickly, I want us to look at this particular woman. That woman that said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. Let's read the account from the book of Mark, chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Look and live. Amen?
Amen.
When we say look, just know where life comes from. Life does not come from your drugs. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't come from medicine. Amen?
Amen.
Where does it come from?
From the Lord.
Yes, from Christ Jesus. The resurrection power of Christ Jesus is available to all who believe. That's where life comes from. Life does not come from your genes. The power of God silences genes and activates genes. There's something the Lord helped me to understand. Even if a gene is defective, you need the Spirit to empower it. If a gene is good, you need the Spirit to empower it. So God may not bother sometimes to correct faulty genes. It removes the Spirit that empowers them. Even in medicine, we know there are times genes just go silent. We don't know why. Bad genes. I'm talking about bad genes. So we say there's a skip generation. Why they go silent? Difficult to explain. But now I'm understanding. See, the Word of God. See, let me tell you something. There was a time Jesus looked, and he wasn't talking seriously. And I want to tell you today, even on seriously, there are some things you should not say. He wasn't talking seriously. You know, like, anything on that tree? No. Useless tree. Nobody will eat from it again. Okay, let's go, Joe. Frustration. Do you get my point? Now, you get what I'm saying? Like just, okay, not frustration, exasperation. So we walk out from here, reach there, to pluck mango, no mango. Walk out to the tree. That's what Jesus did. Just told the tree, this tree. Nonsense. Because you made me walk this time. You knew you didn't have fruit. Instead of you to shout, oh God, no fruit. So that before I approach, I won't come. And the Bible says, and the disciples heard him. Next day was coming. That's Mark chapter 11, right? Then when they was coming back, they said, Master, wait. Hold up, everybody, hold up. The tree was dead. So that is the tree you crossed yesterday. Like one man said, so after that, Peter said, moving at the back. You know, if you just turn, Peter will go behind. Don't look at me. Don't look at me because. Before he says something now. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But when he spoke, nature. Now, that tree had living cells. All the cells involuted. They died off. The Bible says from the root. The xylem said, we are absorbing nothing again. All the parenchyma says, no, nothing flows through here. Oh yeah, enough. They came next time. The tree was dead. Now, let me explain. It shows that nature, natural things respond to the word of God. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Natural things do what? They respond to the word of God. I'll tell you the reason why I said, be careful what you say even casually. Please, I'd like to tell you the story of Lazarus. Look, listen. Tell stories. What did I say?
Tell stories.
The word of God comes as songs, as stories, as commandments. Just tell the story. Let me tell this story again. One man, Jesus loved him. His name was Lazarus. He fell sick. Jesus was far away. They sent for the Lord. He said, I'll come when I finish the teachings I'm doing here. When he finished, by the time he got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And he said to them, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. He said, where do you lay him? They carried him to the tomb. And he said, roll away the stone. And he said, Father, I thank you for you have heard me. You know this prayer, I can't remember. See, I'm only saying it loud so that these people can believe. Indeed, I know you hear me always. Then he said, Lazarus. Listen, he wasn't whispering, shouting for Lazarus. He was shouting for all of them to hear. There's no need raising your voice when a man does, his brain is dead. So he said, Lazarus, come forth. Do you know what happened? Lazarus, his life was reversed. I told you, God changed the past. Every bit of that man heard the word of God. All the tissues that had undergone decomposition, they recomposed. Speak the English for me. They recomposed. There's decompose, they recomposed. So there was recomposition. The word was spoken, and Lazarus came back to life. That's why Ezekiel was asked, can these bones live? He was so confused. The bones were dry. Lazarus had flesh. The bone wasn't dry. But the Lord said, even dry bones can live. So what do I need to do? He said, speak to the dry bones. Say to it, thus says the Lord. Are you getting my point? Brethren, put the word of God on your lips. I hope you're getting my point. No matter what you read in the medical textbook, it doesn't have life. I don't know whether I hear what I said. It does not have life. If doctor sits with you for hours and talks to you, it does not have life. Everything he's saying doesn't have life. But if the word of God comes, and the word of God doesn't come with details, it comes with purpose. It says, live. Did he say to Lazarus, Lazarus, begin to recompose. No more decomposition in your life. I speak to bacteria. Get out. I speak to autolysis. Get out. No. He just said, come forth. Everything necessary to have comfort effective was supplied. The Bible says that the word of the Lord goes forth. His spirit goes out to gather. I hope you're getting my point. I want to tell the story of Lazarus again. He was dead, was found at the door, bound all through his feet, in grave clothes, was bound. So that tells me something. He didn't get up. The word lifted him and dropped him at the door. The word did what? Lifted him and dropped. So the Lord had to say, loose that man and let him go. If he could have gotten up, why are they losing him? He would have continued walking now. He said, loose him and let him go. That tells me that he was not the one that walked to that door, to that entrance of that tomb. The word picked him up and dropped him there. Somebody say, the word walks.
The word walks.
Say, the word is alive.
The word is
alive. I said we should go somewhere, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What am I doing? Putting our attention back where it belongs. I like exercising. Who likes exercising here? Okay, forget who likes. Who exercises? That the hands will still be plenty. Okay. Okay, if you're above the age of 30, I mean, if you, all those who are 12 years old, who you exercise help now? I'm having my voice there. So I like exercise. I do. But I don't do much, all right? I want to start again. But the motivation this time around, you wouldn't believe the motivation. I saw an 82-year-old woman doing chin-ups. I decided that it's not right. How can I be almost 30 years older than me? And you are doing what I'm not doing. I said, no, it's not good. The woman is still skipping rope. You know, skipping. If you also beat that woman, I shall be skipping. I'm going to buy skipping rope now, after today. At least every day. Let me just do 100. That woman is 82. I told myself, it's not good. And I mean, it's good for her, but I'm not skipping. Exercise is good, amen? It's very, very good. Some years ago, I wake up early in the morning. I'm kind of self-conscious. You can't find me on the road around the corner square at 9 o'clock. I feel jobless. Those of you can do it. God bless you. I don't have any problem with it. But I used to go out early. Before all I was there, I'd go back to my house, walk around, do fast walk, small runs and everything. 45 minutes, I'm back in my house. I used to do it a few times a week. You know the day I stopped? Not because it's bad, though. Please. It's good. What did I say?
It's good.
It's good. I'm not saying it's bad. The day I stopped was when I thought to myself, That was all. I wasn't feeling lazy. I wasn't feeling anything. I just said, thank you. Have you prayed this morning? No. Have you studied the word of God this morning? No. What is the best time to pray and study the word? This time. That's what I want to go to use to run. Is your head correct? I decided my head was not correct. So I said no. I don't have any problem with it. If I had the opportunity, I would still do it. But that time of the day, if I can wake up at that time, it must be to study the word and declare. See, there's a book. I will show it to us when we finish today. One man compiled it. What's the name of that book? Songs of Eternity. They are prophecies, page by page. I see these scriptures. You take now. There's a habit I know I've fallen out of, which I have to make sure I reactivate. That's a habit of what? Meditation. In fact, meditation and prophesying. Meditation, you are speaking the word to yourself. Prophesying, you are speaking the word to outside. Outside includes your body. Yourself being your soul, your spirit. When you are declaring the word, you are commanding by the word of God since you're outside, including your body and the environment, your finances, your business, your family, your household. It's a habit, please. Jogging is good, amen?
Yes.
People jog and they are praying when they are jogging, amen? But you know the truth, you are not praying, you are jogging. Did you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You are not praying, what are you doing? You're jogging. And it matters, in the things of the spirit, they matter. You can't feel in jogging time with hearing the word. It doesn't have the same effect. I play messages when I drive all the time. But I know it's not the same thing. Because that one, I'm feeling the time. Which is good. I'm not saying it's bad. But there must be time dedicated. See, this one is the word. You get to my house, everybody plays messages all the time. If my wife is in the bathroom, she's playing a message. I'm ironing, I'm playing a message. It's a normal thing in my household. But let my household know. It does not count if you have not forsaken all else. And said, no, it's just this word. Where I'm going is that if you are jogging, you're exercising, you are not spiritually exercising with prophesying and meditation, you're confused. You're confused. How can you be jogging physically, exercising physically, and you have not spiritually exercised with meditation and prophesying? There are things you do, and you are saying to God, you don't believe the power belongs to God. That's the thing I'm emphasizing. For us to know that what? The power belongs to God. That day I told myself, no, Banky, even if for no other reason, just to tell the Lord, I know where power lies. I stopped. Wake up at 5. There's a habit I have these days. I want to encourage all of you to join me. I read Catherine Kuhlman. I try to do it every day, one chapter. I've not done well in the last 2 weeks, but before I was very consistent. I'll go back to it. There are 3 books. Got the name of the books. I Believe in Miracles. God Can Do It Again. Nothing is Impossible with God. And some of our other books. I mention these 3 because they are compilations of testimonies. Why do I read them? To make heaven clear to me. See, I'm a doctor. I'm trained. So I know how healing takes place. You break a bone, you injure a joint. One man, wood fell on his knee. Crushed it very well. So he was using crutches and walking with difficulty. A man walked up to him and said, can I pray for you? The man laid hands on his knee in Chick-fil-A, a restaurant in the U.S. And that man got up, started bending up and down, through, and started running up and down. For me, for you, you're thinking about healing. I'm not thinking about healing like that. I'm thinking about process. Jesus is my Lord. I'm thinking, where are the myofibroblasts? What are the collagen-laying cells? What's happening to the neovascularization? What happened to the macrophages? What about the interleukins? I need to teach you small pathology. I'm thinking about, what about fibroblast? No, all the things that normally give healing by secondary intention. Like Pastor Anne said in Sokoto, he said, this is the power of God, hastens natural processes. He said, it is a super in supernatural. I don't get the point. Because of Aaron's rod that budded. It had fruit, and it kept overnight. Things that should have taken weeks, even if it was fresh, plant. This is a dry one. So when the person got healed, what I'm thinking of is, excuse me, what happened to the swelling, the stiffness? It reminds me again that once he has spoken, twice I must hear this. The power belongs to God. Anytime I read Catherine Kuhlman, that's what I get. Because I understand the diseases. A woman whose heart was weak and who went for a meeting, not Catherine Kuhlman's meeting now, and somebody prayed for her. And next day she went to the mall and she ran up because she was in a hurry and did not remember she had a bad heart. She has finished her shop before she said, wait, what did I just do? I just ran through the mall. She went home, she was fine. You know, white people are the ones that are colored. You know, we were just black, you know, just we have different degrees of blackness, okay? But colored people, white people, they change color with the weather and with health. She was very pale because the skin was not getting enough blood. Then she looked at herself in the mirror. Her cheeks were red because the heart was pumping blood well. Ah! Next day, she dressed up, went for a checkup with the doctor. The doctor saw her and said, what happened? Then she kept quiet and thought, what will I tell this doctor now? If I say I went for evangelist meeting, he will think I've gone crazy. But does the doctor? Nothing. And by the time she was leaving his hospital, her cheeks had drained of blood. She left that place slowly. Her strength was gone. It took her 10 years and a trip to the United States to go and attend the Catherine Kuhlman's meeting to get well again. Yeah, think about healing. No, I'm thinking of process. You know, I'm thinking about the cardiomyocytes. I'm thinking of what's happening in the heart. I'm thinking of how the power of God is touching all the fibers. I read those books to remind myself, the power belongs to God. That's the reason why I read them every day. Because, you see, I know the natural one. I know why cancer cells don't listen to treatment. So I need to be reminded that what? The power belongs to God. Let's read this portion of the scriptures. We'll just read this and then we'll pray and then we'll go. Mark chapter what? Chapter 5. I'm talking about habits to show that you are believing God and you are looking. Yes, that's the word. A habit to show that you are looking at the serpent on the pole. Habits to show that you are looking at the Christ on the cross. Verse 25. A woman had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and she had endured much at the hand of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. Please listen. What was the first thing she did that happened to her? She heard of Jesus. There was the next thing you see before she touched the cloak in verse 28. For she, literally Greek, for she was saying, your Bible says, for she thought, right? Yes. What does your, which version are you reading? Eh? No, him. I'm asking him. Who's reading anything apart from NESB? Eh? What does Amplify say? Oh, God bless your Bible. He said, for what? She kept saying. For she kept saying. That's literal Greek. If you check the note, in the, those of you who have NASB, he said, for the note, the side note says, for she was saying. I didn't even notice the Amplified one before. He said, she kept saying. Oh, I love that. For she kept saying. One of the things that will show you are looking to the cross is what? What you keep saying. That's what I want to bring up from here today. For she kept saying, he said, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. If I only touch his garment, I will certainly get well. If I only touch his garment, I will be delivered. If I only touch his garment. So when they say, where are you going? I'm going to the road where the Lord will pass. Why are you going there? If I only touch his garment, I'll be healed. A lot of people passing, that's the problem. However, if only I can manage. The Bible says that's how she went in the press. She struggled her way to touch the garment. Not only did she say, I hope you're getting my point. She did what was necessary. There's something Pastor Corey said. She said, some people said that I'm believing God. He said, I used to forget to ask them, how are you believing? Believing always commands a form of obedience. Many times, believing will put words in your mouth that you must continue to declare. The reverend said, believing did something for him. He was taking the scriptures with every meal, 3 times a day. Every meal, he would read the scripture. He would eat his food, take the Bible, bring it up, read some scriptures. And what doctors thought was incurable disappeared in 2 months. I hope you're getting my point. This woman did what? She kept saying. Please let me remind us what something I'm trying to bring out. Every day they try to prove to us what is the cause of the problem. They will tell a story. The current story is being told now is genes. Please, let me put a word in your mouth as we are closing today. Say after me,
the power
belongs to God.
Healing
belongs to God.
Health
belongs to God.
From him
come my health. Say
health comes from him.
Say my health comes from him. Say
my help comes from the Lord.
My healing comes from the Lord. Say it again. My healing comes from the Lord.
My healing comes from the Lord.
My health comes from the Lord.
My health comes from the Lord.
My deliverance comes from the Lord.
My deliverance comes from the Lord.
Very important. All I'm doing this time around is just helping us keep our eyes where it belongs. I remember the testimony of one girl, the days of Ebola. One of those working with in the hospital there, where that foreigner brought the disease, a young doctor. She survived. So what many people don't know was what her husband did. She was a Christian. They allowed you to come in with your phone to the isolation treatment place, but you couldn't go with the phone. When you are, they collect everything and fry everything. Do you understand? When you are leaving, but she had a phone when she was there, and I think she had a player. Her husband sent her messages. He will call and just keep on declaring the word of God to her. She didn't survive naturally. She survived supernaturally. Everybody say after me again. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The Spirit of God.
The
same Spirit.
The same Spirit.
That raised Jesus from the dead.
Is in me.
Is giving life to my mortal body. Now remember, Jesus didn't describe anything to Lazarus. He just said, come forth. Now say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I speak to my health.
Come forth.
That's all. You know, God said, I said to you, your blood, live. Say, once he has spoken.
Twice I've heard it.
Live.
Leave.
Everybody say, he said. And I've heard.
And I continue to hear.
Live. Say, I live. Say, I live.
I live.
I live.
I live.
From the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
Say, I live.
By the power of Christ,
I live. Say,
I am healed.
Say, healing
is my portion.
It is the will of God.
Say it again. Healing.
Perfect health.
Is my portion.
It is the will of God. Now say this. Say,
thy will be done.
In my life.
As it is recorded in heaven.
Now that's a prophetic word. Now put that on your lip as you go home today. Say in the name of Jesus, the will of God be done in my body. Be done in my life. Be done in my eyes as it is recorded in heaven. What is recorded in heaven? Himself took my infirmities and my diseases, and by his stripes I have been healed. Give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we give you thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you.